Okay, that was a loud intro.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an unusual episode here. I'm at home, and so I hope everybody can hear me okay. And we have... sorry, my sinuses, that's why I'm at home. We have Paul with us again, Trucker Paul. How you doing,
good
brother?
Good to be back. Good to be back.
It's good to have you, man.
Sorry, we'll get used to it.
Yeah. So it's not the normal setup. So Jeff's at home because I didn't want whatever he has. That's not true at all. He just wasn't feeling up to it. So I was like, we'll just record you on the phone. And then we got Paul. Paul, it looks like are you in your truck, Paul?
I'm in my work car.
Okay, so Paul is in his work car, and man, we're just keeping this real. So what we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be talking about the whole Andy Stanley, Leighton Flowers. I don't know any other way to put it, but debacle. Sorry, I'm going to adjust in my seat because I can actually see Jeff and Paul, and it feels weird staring at a computer and they're right in front of me. So, we actually were kind of texting each other when we found out that this was going to take place. And what we're going to do is we're going to let it play, and we're just going to interrupt whenever we feel the need to. Now, Jeff and I have done this before where we've reviewed we've reviewed a full sermon series. And our goal during that full sermon series was to really knock it out in about 4 episodes. However, that turned into 9 episodes. and we do not want to do that here. I could not handle 9 episodes of Leighton and Andy. So we're going to get as far as we can, and we may skip through some parts, but I promise you if we skip through some parts, it's not as if we're trying to take something out of context.
And it's not like they talk about anything really relevant. Well, I mean, they just kiss up to each other, basically.
So Jeff is going to tell us how he really feels here in a moment. he's going to kind of warm up before he gets into that. But
Yeah.
So I'm going to fast forward through the song about trashing Calvinism and how his program always starts. I tell you what, so what I'm going to do is I've got the computer here at the church. We're going to play it. I've got Jeff and Paul on the screen, and they're going to wave at me when they're like, stop. And I'll stop the video, and we'll kind of work our way in there. All righty, guys. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
All right. Hey,
let's do it.
Y'all want to say anything before it gets started?
Nah, I say let's get back to it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
That's what I love about Paul. All right, so I'm going to... And for... Here we go. I'm going to turn it up, and I'm going to... When I hear this song...
You want to punch somebody in the face?
Yeah. All right. Here it is.
I want to give just some introductory remarks and kind of tell you a little bit about how this interview came to pass. As many of you know, there at Sociology 101, we have a support link where somebody can become a Patreon or a one-time giver. And whenever somebody signs on, I get a little notice in my inbox. And a couple of weeks ago, I got a notice in my inbox. I was given a fairly generous gift, a nice-sized gift from Andy Stanley. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that... Maybe not.
Sorry, that was Jeff nor Paul wave there. This is just me stopping.
I was getting ready to, but go ahead.
Okay. So this is pretty interesting to me. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this.
Flowers was bought.
It almost sounds that way, right? That Leighton would take money from Andy Stanley, and I don't know how you guys feel, but I personally couldn't take his money. I would be convicted receiving money from Andy Stanley. Paul, would you take money from Andy Stanley?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with y'all. It's awful odd. I mean, when you got two different, you know, theologies going on here, I don't see how in the world it, you know, it don't make no sense to me.
Right.
The reason why he contributed to Leighton Flowers' ministry at all, because they're on opposite sides of the spectrum to begin with.
I've got a theory. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. So here's my theory. I think that when it comes to Andy Stanley, most of the people that go after Andy are either Calvinist or they are Reformed folks. I think that's primarily when it comes to pushback, that's who's going after him. I think he felt attacked when he went to the ERLC to speak and he was up on stage with Russell Moore. I think he got a bad taste in his mouth from that. But I think what ended up happening was, since Andy's attacked, and rightfully so, by Calvinist and Reformed folks, he ends up finding Leighton Flowers, because Leighton Flowers is someone who is constantly bashing Calvinists and the Reformed theology. So I think he found Leighton, agrees with what Leighton's doing, because Andy has been torn apart time and time again by Calvinists. And when they come after him, they have scripture behind what it is that they're attacking. And Andy, there's no way out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, I could be totally wrong. That's just a little theory that I have.
Well, if that's your theory, then he's no better off with Leighton, because Leighton has the same problem that Andy's got when it comes to scripture.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, absolutely. The big thing for me, though, is with Andy Stanley, he's going to take in whoever will take him in, where Leighton Flowers, as long as you're against the doctrine of grace, he's on board with you. And that's where it gets really scary, because where is his theology? Where does he stand other than against Calvinists?
Right.
It's almost like he has strayed so far away from scripture just to argue and rebuke Calvinists.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a very scary thing, these two coming together.
Yeah, when two worlds collide. All right, here we go.
The Andy Stanley. You know, Andy Stanley is a much more common name than Leighton Flowers, and so it's probably just some other Andy Stanley. And sure enough, I look it up, and it is the Andy Stanley. And we have this really great email exchange, and he is so gracious and kind and says some great words. And I just felt ecstatic that he was willing to support the ministry. And I asked if he wanted to come on the program, and he was gracious to agree to do that. I posted this online last week, just kind of announcing that I would be having him on, and I had a ton of great comments, a ton of people just,
it's going to sound mean, but I really don't care. He's kind of gushing like a schoolgirl right now. I mean, he's got this really big smile on his face, and the Andy Stanley.
And I mean, the whole thing is with Leighton Flowers, everything is man-centered theology. So. Now, you know, we're praising Andy Stanley, yeah. The Andy Stanley. Yeah. He's a heretic. You know, wasn't Andy Stanley the one that basically said, throw away the Old Testament?
Unhitch, yeah. Unhitch.
Yeah.
Unhitch.
Yeah, that's where Leighton gets the unhitched.
Yes. Yep.
In the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Congratulations and excitement for this broadcast. And then others who aren't so excited, as you can imagine. The theology police, who really had some issues with some of the things he said. And I can understand there are some provocative things. Anybody that speaks for a living is going to say some provocative things. And he even admits that he can be unclear about things. But if you go back and listen, if you practice the principle of charity and actually go back and believe the best about a person instead of the worst about a person, and listen to their explanations, then most things can be explained pretty easily. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to show less grace for that well-known pastor that.
Yo.
Sorry, man. I just want to say real quick. I mean, all this so far, there has been nothing but kiss up. I mean, and the sad thing is why would you bring Andy Stanley on your show that rebukes Calvinism when Andy Stanley is not a Calvinist, doesn't know anything of the doctrines of grace, but yet this here he is just babbling on about how great Andy Stanley is.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is too, and Leighton gets into this, and we've actually have made it 2 minutes and 7 seconds, so this could turn into a 10-part series if we're not careful.
I'll shut up.
No. I mean, there's so much here, it's almost impossible not to stop every 45 seconds.
Yeah.
But with Leighton's comments that you have to go back and listen, you know, there's certain things that Andy is clear on. When, and I believe it may have been all the way back in 2012, but when he came out and was joyous over this family sitting in the church and the family had been destroyed, the husband left the wife for another man. The wife is now with another man and they have kids. And yet Andy was excited about seeing this family that's just been crushed sitting on the front row listening to one of his sermons. Now, here's what I would have to say. If the gospel is truly being taught at North Point, which I don't believe it is, there is no way that they could sit there and not be convicted of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to go back and thoroughly listen to what is being said. So I don't agree with that comment there.
Well, and the funny thing is Leighton said that even Andy Stanley admits that sometimes what he says is unclear. I would say that's true with every sermon and every interview that he does. He dances around because he's an ear tickler. He wants everybody to like him, not just his people, you know, his denomination or whatever. He wants to try to fit in to all the categories, well, except for Calvinism, because the Reformed groups were the outcasts.
We're the mean ones, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In this video here, all of Andy's statements are a bit, you know, between of anything. He just kind of, like he said.
No, Paul, I think we're losing you just a little bit, brother. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I got you now.
He says that Andy kind of dances around the state. He never does.
So what you were saying about dancing around, what were you saying about the dancing around?
He never is talking specific.
Oh, man.
It's just ambiguous.
Keep going in and out. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Huh. Let me slide this over. It may be on my end. Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay. Okay. Yep. Okay. I had to move.
They were good. Yeah, I was just saying that through the whole video, you know, with his statements are just ambiguous. He never does specifically nail down any thought, you know, just kind of bring something up and then he never does expound upon it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is when you are a public speaker, and here Leighton is actually taken up for him, when he says that you're going to say things and that's just part of it, the issue is how often do you have to explain yourself? That's what's so concerning. I mean, he was like a lightning rod there for a while. And if you stay within the boundaries in which the scripture is laid out, it's not, it shouldn't be an issue. You shouldn't be called out by other pastors time after time after time. I mean, if so, then you need to check your own self, making sure that you, or telling other people if they need to go back and listen to what's being said. I think the issue's on your end and not the people that are listening if it's constantly going about that way.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, and what's sad is Andy Stanley's been in ministry for over 25 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at, you know, a pastor that's going to sit there and say, you know, I've been in ministry for a little over 25 years. For him to say that comment and be so unbiblical is terrifying.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hit play now. So just wave your hands if you need me to stop.
We have never met or know of than we do for our own pastors or the people that we actually do know. And I think that if we're going to unhitch from anything, if we're going to use that word unhitch, maybe we should unhitch from a petty jealousy from a pastor who's doing a lot better job than maybe we are at reaching the lost. Maybe we need to unhitch from a lack of graciousness towards fellow believers who may not be as clear as they wish they could be every single time they make a comment, and not just assuming the worst about somebody or judging people based upon.
I'm just going to go back to the same thing that I just said. This is something that constantly happens with Andy Stanley. It's not about being not, about the Reformed camp or the Calvinistic camp not being gracious. That's the whole part of grace, is going to that person and saying, look, you're a public teacher, so we're going to have to rebuke you publicly for what it is that you're saying. I mean, that's the other side being gracious. It's not just us sitting back and being like, oh, it's just Andy. People don't really understand what he's saying.
What's he talking about? Jealousy? Here we go into the role of my church is bigger than yours. You know, it's not about, is Andy Stanley teaching the scripture? It's look at how many people follow him and give money and buy into his propaganda.
Yeah, apparently he just bought Layton.
Yeah.
All right.
A Twitter comment or a secondhand report on something that was said down the line. And I think when we begin to understand and you listen to Andy's explanation as to why he said certain things, it makes sense. But you have to have the level of graciousness to go and to actually hear him out. And listen to why he believes what he believes or why he says what he says. And to also realize that his apologetic may be a little different than yours. His starting point and the audience that he's speaking to may be different than yours. And so as you hear us in this conversation, you may not be in agreement with us. You may not agree with Andy Stanley on everything that he believes or what I believe in. But since when does somebody have to completely agree with each other in order to have an interview? I watched... John MacArthur have an interview with Ben Shapiro. Does that mean John MacArthur agrees?
All right. What did John MacArthur do with Ben Shapiro? He presented the gospel to him. He pointed Ben Shapiro to the gospel.
Yep.
Yeah. Him and Ben Shapiro didn't team up to talk about somebody else's faith.
That's a very good point there, Paul. I think there's been times where Leighton Flowers, when he was on with an open theist, he could have presented the gospel to him. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it'd be necessarily a bad thing if Leighton Flowers presented the gospel to Andy Stanley.
Well, back to the open theist thing. I agree with James White and Leighton and some of his, things that he makes up. If you think about what he says, it proves that he is an open theist by some of the stuff that he says.
Yeah. To me. I agree. Yeah. I mean, so this is something that Layton always says. If you walk this out in its most logical understanding, mm-hmm. what Leighton Flowers is pushing is that of open theism.
Yeah.
I mean, because God would have to learn. He says that our point of view... that we're limiting the sovereignty of God But with man having free will, that makes God more sovereign than the point of view that Calvinists and Reformed theologians take. However, from the point of view that if man has free will, God is kind of sitting back, waiting, wondering what's going to take place before he can act.
Mm-hmm.
So who's completely sovereign then? Is it God or is it man?
Yeah, and he makes some analogies that kind of speak to that. And I don't know if you have an analogy where you go into a park and you see this guy and he's playing chess.
Oh, yeah.
But he's playing himself. He's on both sides. And he contributes that to, the Calvinist view of who God is. But I thought about what he was saying, and I actually agreed with exactly what he said, because you have God, one God, and he's moving the pieces. In other words, he's doing with his creation exactly what he created them for, either on both sides of the board.
Yeah.
But then he gives the analogy for his side is, he said, what is better? Where if you have this guy that just can beat everybody and people come from all over the world to play him, and he's still just so good at playing this game that he ends up winning. But if you look at exactly what he's talking about, you have God that's playing man. And according to his, God doesn't necessarily make. But he, works around what man does, and that's to me the definition of open theism when you talk about that, because man has to make the move first before God can react to that move.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong in saying that?
No, I think you're perfectly right. As a matter of fact, you broke up just for a second, but it came back in perfectly. And how it was, and what you were saying is that if God is sitting here playing these chess masters and he's beating them, yet he's still having to respond to their moves.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah. That's not God. That's not the God of the Bible.
Right. Yeah. And even with Leighton Flowers in his biblical worldview, doesn't even realize that to begin with, God is the one that created those people. And if you look at it through our worldview, he knew what they were going to do before he even created that person.
Yeah, not because of foreknowledge either. Not because he looked down the corridor of time. Right. Yeah, it's because he knows them.
Right.
Yeah. Were you wanting to say something, Jeff?
No.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Here we go.
Agrees with everything Ben Shapiro believes or teaches? Obviously not. Ben Shapiro is a Jew. And practices Judaism. Doesn't believe that Jesus is divine. John MacArthur still had an adult conversation with him, however. And so I think we need to be able to have adult conversations with people who disagree with us, or that we...
Sorry, that's not even in context. I just want to throw that out there. That's not even in the same context of what Ben Shapiro and John MacArthur, what their interview was about, compared to what Leighton Flowers and Andy Stanley, what their interview is going to be about. So two totally, totally separate ideas there.
Yeah, and hey, Britt, the thing is the Shapiro-MacArthur interview was focused around God, the gospel, the truth.
Yeah, yeah. MacArthur made sure that.
This interview is focused on man.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
We don't necessarily hold to and have the exact same views on every single point. Andy doesn't agree with me. I'm sure if he listened to me long enough, he's going to find points that he's not going to agree with me about, and vice versa. And when I have Calvinists on the program, obviously we don't agree with everything, and we're going to push each other on different points, but that's what adults do. How do I know? Thanksgiving just happened. Christmas is coming up, and guess what? We're going to sit around a table with people we don't agree with politically, theologically, on every single point, but we're able to have fellowship with one another. We're able to talk with one another. We're able to have discussions with one another, not because we necessarily agree with everything that every person has ever said, but because we're adults. And sometimes, yes, there's going to be people sitting over at the children's table who'd have nothing better to do but to fling food at the people at the adult table.
Okay. So that was a cheap shot. That was a cheap shot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're the food throwers. Is that it?
Yeah. So here's Layton saying how we need to be adults and have adult conversations, but yet he blindsides people. He makes stupid comments like the Thanksgiving dinner, you know, referring to Calvinists sitting at the kids' table. It blows me away, man, at this guy.
We're doing great. 4 minutes and 40 seconds into this thing.
We got it.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to put the people at the children's table in another room so that the adults can talk. And I think that we can get distracted very easily when it comes to social media and YouTube and Twitter and all the other places where there are people who have nothing better to do but to fling food from the children's table instead of focusing upon the things that matter.
Yep.
But that's all he does. That is all Layton Flowers does. He lives on social media and worries about what people say about him, and then he's got to review what people say about him, and then when he does an interview, he's got to review how he did his own interview. I mean, he's a narcissist, and this is, it's ridiculous, man.
Jeff, I thought you said you weren't going to hold anything back.
I'll hold some back now.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, that is a valid point. Some of the greatest theologians, this is what's going to be absolutely amazing. Some of the greatest theologians of our time and probably ever. You have the likes of a MacArthur, an R.C. Sproul. I could see Vodi Bakum going down like one of the greatest theologians of our time. And yet, he has done videos on every one of those guys. Long videos. James White. James White will go down as one of the greatest theologians ever. Mm-hmm. And he debated James White and then put out probably 5 or 6 hours worth of material over the debate. And then some of that material was over what James White said about the debate when he reviewed it. But, you know, for someone to attack social media like he's doing here and in saying that certain people should be put in another room, well, there you go. He may need to be put in a closet.
Yeah.
Instead of really being able to have deep conversations about difficult subjects that we simply disagree upon, but still be gracious towards each other, still treat each other with a level of respect.
Hey, just to let you know, notice he used the word deep there, and then Andy Stanley later uses the word deep. So there's something. Yeah,
here we go. Respect to call each other out, yes, when we need to call each other out on different points, but also to be able to challenge each other, to sharpen each other's iron and go deeper. And so hopefully that's what you'll see here in this interview. And I pray that you'll enjoy it. Andy Stanley, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being on with me today.
Oh, yeah, I've been looking forward to it, and I appreciate the invitation.
Well, I saw notice that you had kind of been dinging me on social media and had listened to my podcast, and that always flatters me and humbles me when people that I admire and look up to find my materials and thank me for them. And I just appreciate that. I appreciate your encouragement to me. It really does mean a lot.
Well, as I mentioned, when I bumped into you, I think originally somebody posted a Twitter connection to the podcast. And then I started watching and couldn't stop watching and got my daughter watching and just thought, wow, where's this guy been? So as I mentioned, you know, when we were talking offline, I just appreciate you stepping into this space. It's not a comfortable space. You are extremely gracious, very measured, fair, kind. You've sort of not only is your content compelling, I just think the way that you do it is compelling. And I think you model how these conversations should happen and take place. So I'm just grateful that when you invited me on, I thought, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but you know, if I can help you do what you do, you know, I'm all yours. So well, I'll try not to mess this up.
Well, I appreciate what that means the world to me. And believe it or not, I've watched your dad for years. I watched you for years. And to be honest, the cordiality, the ironic nature in which you're addressing people that disagree with you, I've learned from you, watching people like yourself, especially. You have always been very cordial with people who disagree with you theologically, people who are atheistic even, who are not even consider themselves brothers. You've always addressed right. them with a respect towards them while disagreeing with them. And so a lot of that is attributed to leaders like you who are setting that example and that tone for other Christians that come along, other leaders that come along. So I really appreciate that about you.
Well, thanks. I hope that's the case, and I hope that's always the case. So,
absolutely. Well,
if you take what he just said and say that Andy Stanley is a role model for pastors, shame on Leighton Flowers. Shame on you for lifting this man up and praising him. Because he is a heretic. He is a false teacher. And you are just smooching up to him. So, to me, Leighton Flowers, his true colors have been exposed now with this Andy Stanley episode.
You know, I think one of the issues that is pretty glaring is, yes, it's primarily Reformed folks who are doing polemics. It's primarily Reformed folks who are doing apologetics. And saying that, you know, like I said earlier, I understand why these two have gotten together, because I think both of them dislike, probably for different reasons, dislike the Reformed community. And yet, at the same time, I would like for Andy to go and disprove what it is that these theologians have said about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he'd have to do. But the problem is the list keeps getting longer and longer. And the longer he doesn't answer the questions that people are bringing up, you know, by the time if he ever does start answering them, it's going to be a novel. It's going to be a novel of him trying to rebuke what it is that these folks have said. And if you're having to lay out a novel to rebuke what's being said about you, especially from sound theologians, then at some point in time, you're really going to have to look in the mirror. And if you're not willing to look in the mirror, then I don't know what you're doing standing behind a pulpit.
Yep.
But, I mean, he doesn't stand behind a pulpit, but that's my concern. And I know there's a lot of folks that do not like pulpit and pen, but I'm going to say what Phil Johnson said. If you don't like J.D. Hall, you need to prove him wrong.
Yep.
And I'm on here right now, and how many articles? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's on one page. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 29 articles have been written about Andy Stanley. That's just on pulpit and pen.
Yeah.
And again, like Phil Johnson said, if you don't like what's being said, or, you know, if Andy doesn't like what's being said about him, then prove JD wrong.
He hasn't even put up a fight.
No. All right.
I want to ask you, I'm always curious from people from other parts of the country and from other backgrounds. You and I have some similarities. Both of us were raised by Southern Baptist fathers who were kind of high profile. Yeah. My father helped to start CU at the Pole here in Texas. He's more high profile. Chuck Flowers is big in Texas. He's not that big around the country like your father was. But I was always recognized as Chuck's son, and always known for being his kid and kind of growing up in the ministry myself. And so there's probably a lot of similarities in the way we were raised. And I was raised in a typical Southern Baptist church and taught normal, you know, whosoever will type theology, and then went off to university and adopted a more of a Calvinistic approach from John MacArthur and Sproul and Piper. And then about 10 years later came out of that. And so that's been kind of my history, as many people know who watch the podcast. But what's your history with the sociological views with regard to Calvinism, how that's impacted you, how that's impacted the Southern Baptist Convention from your perspective?
Well, like you, I grew up in a traditional Southern Baptist church, a big Southern Baptist church. Back in the day, you know, 2,000 people was big. Now it's somewhat common, but, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, that was a big deal. And my dad, like you, everywhere we went, people recognized my dad. And it's kind of funny. This isn't what you ask, but in some ways, I feel like I'm living my life twice, because I remember being the little kid who the energy would just drain out of me when somebody would walk up to my dad and start a conversation while we were out at the mall or, you know, having dinner or lunch, and then raising my kids, seeing the same thing. So it's kind of interesting being pastor's kids and then being pastors and then watching our kids experience some of those same.
Okay, guys, I want to fast forward just a little bit, because this is.
Well, while you fast forward, that was a prime example of what Paul was saying at the beginning of this episode about how Andy Stanley, I mean, it's just like you never know where he's going. I mean, it's like he was asked a direct question and totally went on a left turn. He can't even answer a simple question.
All right, I'm gonna hit play here.
It was certainly not Reform, although we studied Reform theology. It wasn't Covenant, although we studied Covenant theology. And at DTS, we were required to read really all sides of just about everything. But of course, coming out of Dallas Theological Seminary, I came out with a bent more toward, certainly not toward determinism, and certainly not toward the new Calvinism. It wasn't even new at the time. There wasn't such a thing at the time, and certainly not toward traditional Calvinism. So. I don't chalk this up to any, harsh feelings toward any form of theology. This was really just, like you mentioned, this was just the way I was raised and the theological education I got and the one I appreciate. And, that was many years ago. As I read the New Testament especially, it confirms my understanding of how the New Testament came about, what it's talking about. And I sort of consider myself a sequentialist. I made that up just so I didn't have, I got to define it for myself, you know. Certainly more dispensational than covenant. But as you have reiterated over and over and do such a fabulous job doing so, when you take the New Testament documents for what they originally were and who they were originally presented to, I just think you have to do a lot of, exegetical gymnastics to land where some of our friends have landed. So that's right. That's the short version of my story.
Sure. Now, so I'd like to get your perspective. I know you have friends across the spectrum, as we all do, and I always express a lot of respect for John.
Okay, so he wants to talk about the gymnastics with exegeting the Bible. Okay, you look at the Reform side. You know, that the scripture alone is what we teach.
Right.
You go to Andy Stanley and Leighton Flowers' side, you might hear a little bit of scripture during a service, but you're going to hear more about you. And so to throw that comment in there really goes against him, not the Reformed or Calvinist theology.
And you notice he never did define exactly what he believed.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Because what he ended up doing was he talked about, you know, the new young, restless, and Reformed. And then he said something about traditional Calvinism. I think it would be nice to understand which or what it is they're talking about, because I've yet, for example, he's about to go into John Piper right now, and John Piper's a prime example of the whole new young restless reform movement that I don't believe any of us hold to.
Right.
Man. All right. Paul, you with us, brother?
I'm with
you. Okay.
Piper, we've had him speak at one of our events back in the day, at one of our youth events, and he's one of the most humble men I've ever met. He's also very influential right now, as is Albert Mohler and others in the Southern Baptist Convention that I know you've probably...
See, I know I just stopped there, but I don't think they're in touch in some ways in what's taking place in the Reformed camp. I mean, there's a lot of issues surrounding Albert Mohler right now that a lot of sound theologians are, you know, backing up, saying, wait a minute now, you know, what you're saying, it's not, that doesn't line up with the gospel, especially with this whole social justice issue. And then Piper, you're traditionalist. You're a traditional Calvinist. They don't recognize Piper the same way that Leighton Flowers sees him in the Calvinistic movement.
Leighton Flowers uses Piper more than anybody. I think that's his kind of model of what a Calvinist is, and it's so far from it.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Piper's done a lot of good things, you know, in his early days, but I can't recommend Piper now.
No.
I mean, sharing a stage with a woman, his understanding of, you know, the apostolic sign, gifts, and wonders today, he's a continuationist. Him pretty much patting Rick Warren on the back, saying that he is someone that should be respected in the Christian community. There's a lot of issues with Piper. There's a lot of issues with Piper.
Yep.
We met or know. But it is leading to a resurging of Calvinism. I think Southern Seminary is producing quite a few young Calvinistic type pastors. How do you view that from your worldview, from your perspective, from where you sit, and the influences that you have? How do you see the resurging of Calvinism affecting the Southern Baptist Convention or just church in general?
Well, I have an interesting connection to that. And I don't want to overstate this, but it wasn't that long ago that my father, as you know this story, and a group of his friends, and this may be a bit of hyperbole, but essentially rescued the Southern Baptist Convention or the Southern Baptist schools in particular, and some seminaries in particular, from what they would have considered liberalism. Right. And so, you know, it wasn't pretty, and it was a little bit messy. But at the end of the day, there was a, you know, basically celebration in the streets that the Southern Baptist Convention had been saved. Now to watch it, you know, to fully embrace
Do either one of y'all find it ironic that, you know, Charles Stanley back in the day saved the SBC from liberalism? And Andy Stanley is now reminding us of what his father did, while I believe Andy to be one of the most liberal pastors or preachers in the South.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, the irony in that.
I mean, okay.
Conservative theology, but to swing as far as it has to a specific theology is a little bit disconcerting. And my dad and I talk about this all the time. He's 86, so he's you know, not going to jump back into that fray. But it's so disappointing to him, as I know it is to some of the men who were part of that transition back in the day, because this certainly was not what they envisioned. And they were very evangelistic at heart. And they were old-time evangelists in the sense of, you know.
I don't know if y'all probably caught that like I did, but evangelistic at heart and
So that's kind of a dig towards Reformed theology, Calvinists in general, as if we're not evangelical. And you know what? Last night at our Wednesday night service, we have a family here, the husband, wife, Scott and Jenny, and then they have five young boys. And then I'm going to tell you their name, Paul, because I think you'll enjoy this. But there's Moses, there's Job, there's Boaz, Lazarus, and Jedediah. So not only are they named after people from the Bible, but also named after Reformed theologians. Now, I say all that because what this family has done, and I need to be very careful, but not that we have that many people listening to us, but I need to be careful of saying where it is that they're going. But they're going to a country that is heavily populated with Muslims. They have been there before. They planted a church there 14 years ago. They went to a tribe that has never, ever seen a white person. As a matter of fact, they went to a tribe that speaks this weird language that no one has truly ever heard of before. And they lived with them for 14 years. This tribe has never even heard of the Bible. And yet, we have this Reformed family going to this place to which they have been banned from. There is actually a hit out on this family. And it's... Here you have, again, these people claiming that Calvinists are not evangelical.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and edit some of that out because I probably gave a little bit too much information there. So
Yeah.
Forgive me for that. But I'll leave the
it's all good. That's
the majority in. Yeah, that's right. So you know, when I first saw this episode, that's the first thing I thought about was the Phillips family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just John 3:16, and whoever's willing to place their faith in Jesus, you know, becomes a Christian, and we'll take it from there. There wasn't the theological, what we might call complexity. Others might call it sophistication.
Right.
But at the time, it was simple. And to see what's happened, I'm not Southern Baptist, so in some sense, you know, I still care because that's my heritage, but I think ultimately it's going to hurt, or it is hurting the Southern Baptist Convention, especially those schools, as you've talked about, who've basically made Reformed theology the litmus test, or Calvinism the litmus test for who they will hire in those seminaries. There's a sense in which that way of thinking, I've said enough about that. So I it's somewhat emotional for me, but again, not being Southern Baptist, I can kind of stand back and watch, but I think it's certainly going to, I don't think it's, there's going to be a happy landing, and eventually it'll swing the other way. So, you know, God's in control, and yep, as everybody agrees. So we'll right. See.
Wait a minute. Did he just say God's in control? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, but he's going to say he's really not in that much control.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, he's a spectator. Yeah. In this whole deal.
Man, this is what I love about Paul. He'll be quiet for a moment, but then when he speaks, it's like boom, you know? It's great.
Oh yeah.
It's great. All right, here we go.
Yeah, difference between being in
control. How control he's in, yeah, I guess, is where right, we right. differ.
Difference between being in control and being controlling, as we've talked about. Obviously,
there you go.
There's
a
big difference with that. So what factors do you think contribute to the surging of Calvinism? I've had my theories, but I was wondering from your perspective, what do you think is causing so many people to kind of...
Real quick, and then I'm going to hit play again, but I find it funny that's the only time that Layton really ever jumps in and tries to correct Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
I mean,
some controls.
Yeah. He's in control, but he's not controlling. And then you watch the rest of this, and there's so many other things that could be corrected because Stanley pretty much stays in the realm of hyper-Calvinism, and Flowers never even tries to correct that. But heaven forbid that we say that God's in control.
Adopt that worldview.
Yeah, I was scrolling down to that question. You sent me these questions ahead of time, which I really appreciate. And
I'm so happy you paused it right there.
All right. So only because I've had an experience with this, it needs to be told. You know, when I went on Leighton Flowers' podcast to talk about traditionalism, that's what I thought I was going on there to talk about. I didn't have a list of questions, and that's how he got me. However, someone that pays you money, you'll send them a list of questions so you know what's going to be discussed. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Leighton,
it wouldn't surprise me, though, if Andy Stanley sent Leighton Flowers the questions that he was allowed to ask.
That's a lesson learned right there.
Well, that's why, that's the thing. Andy paid for it. Mm. You didn't. You didn't sell out.
Well, here's the thing, though, is, and I'm trying not to get too subjective here, but one of the issues that I have is this image that Leighton holds of being gracious, kind, considerate, cordial. And you know, you can put that facade out there, and I think he's done a great job at that. But at times, I think your actions speak louder than your words. And yes. So I think we're kind of seeing that here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm like you. I don't know. You know, one of the things that you've talked about that, you know, I'm sure many in your audience have heard was that this is a reaction to the seeker movement, or this is a reaction to attractional church. And I've not seen any evidence for that. Maybe Ed Stetzer could inform us on, you know, why that happened or why we think that happened. Right, love Ed. My personal experience, which is very limited, is not that at all.
Ed Stetzer. That's who just, man, this circle that they run around in, it's absolutely sickening. You know, Ed Stetzer is one of the men responsible for Lifeway selling some of the most heretical books that you'll ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these two guys, they don't have a problem with that. No. Continue selling heaven tourism types of books inside Lifeway, even when one of the young men who supposedly went to heaven, I think his name was Kevin Malarkey, comes back and says, you know, this didn't happen. This did not take place. Lifeway continued to sell that book. I mean, when you have Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, T.D. Jakes, I don't know if they still sell Joel Osteen. Maybe, I don't know. I try and stay away from that place. But when you have those as the first books that you see when you walk in a supposed Christian bookstore, and this man, Ed Stetzer, is part of selling that filth, that trash. I can't remember who said this, but it's a pastor. Maybe in J.D. J.D. may have said, I would much rather a Christian go into a strip club than into Lifeway bookstore. I mean,
I guarantee you that Leighton and Andy Stanley's books are sold at Lifeway as well.
I'm sure. I think, well, you know, I donated to Leighton's fund because I bought his book after we had our brief discussion. Because I want to understand what it is that he actually believes.
Did you find it in the book?
No, I found a lot of stuff about Calvinism in there, but, you know. All right.
The young, somewhat, when I say radical, I don't mean theologically radical. I really mean just the young pastors who have a lot of energy around this, who want this to be on the front burner all the time. None of those guys that I've met, and they're all men, none of those men I've met came out of large churches or came out of seeker churches or came out of the attractional model churches. They generally came from small churches.
That's not a true statement. I came out of a mega church. I came out of a seeker sensitive, attractive, friendly mega church. I did. I didn't come out of a small church.
And you know what? I'm going to let Paul. Paul found some awesome research here in a second that I'm going to let him bring up. And I think it's probably going to be here in just a few moments when the statement is made.
Were invited into Bible studies where they were introduced to Reformed theology or Calvinism. And I think, honestly, and you weigh in on this, I think it's a little bit of a personality thing. They're just kind of wired for that. And I think anybody that gets interested in theology, that's a good thing, any theology. Anytime somebody is more energetic about exploring what's in the Bible, that's a good thing. But you take that personality and marry it with this theology, and I think part of it's that. And then, of course, certain Southern Baptist seminaries have profiled this theology or raised it to a level to where it's more acceptable, I know, than it was, you know, when I was much younger. I mean, a Calvinist was kind of eh. So, you know, some very smart people, some very educated people have embraced this. They've, they've profiled it in a way that makes it attractive to certain kinds of folks, and off we go. But I am hesitant to say it is a reaction to the attractional church model or the seeker church model. And of course,
would any of you or you two guys, would y'all be hesitant to say that it's a reaction to the seeker sensitive movement?
No, I think it needs. I mean, there's a point to where, in my opinion, a believer is going to know more of what Scripture says, and once you start looking into Scripture, and then you're looking at what your church is trying to teach and preach, you'll see that there's a difference. Yeah. I mean, that's my story.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, 100%.
And two, I think this is another reason why. You know, I'm not sure the size of Leighton Flowers Church. I think it's considered a mega church, and I could be wrong on that. We looked at pictures one time, but I couldn't really get the gist of it. But I do know that Andy, for the longest time, was the man to go to on how to grow a church. And with this surge of Reformed theology picking up, you know, I believe he's taking offense to it, because that means that if some are saying that Reformed theology is growing because of the seeker sensitive movement, well, he's the reason for it. He's part of the reason. Yep. that the people weren't being fed at these seeker sensitive churches, so they're going elsewhere. They're wanting something that's more solid and fundamental and theological.
I wonder if he considers his church a seeker.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he even admits when you push play in a minute, you're going to hear him say, well, you know, I'm in the middle of this, so I'm going to be biased to what he's talking about. Yeah. He even admits to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing, too, that even his model, this man truly doesn't understand ecclesiology, because he has campuses all over the place. And, mm-hmm. and you show me anywhere in the New Testament, not because they don't have that technology, but they didn't ever say, okay, look, this is what I want you to do. Paul, when you go and you set up this church right here and you get some elders in place, then I want you to tell them to go and set up this church over here. But it's got to have the same pastor walking back and forth, because what we want is the people following the man. That's how we're going to set this up. Whereas today, Stanley's beamed in all over the place, and so
how many locations does he have now?
I don't. I probably should know, but I don't. I know he's got one in Woodstock. He's got one up here in Chattanooga, the Alpharetta. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. So anyway.
You would expect me to say that, because I'm right in the middle of it and have been a part of it for a long, long time. But again, I don't run into people who used to go to our church or who used to be pastors or staff members of our churches who've said, you know what, I needed something deeper. I needed more theology. So I've gone right. a different direction. So,
well, you know,
what do you think?
Well, there is a side of me that loves exegetical, deep exegetical type preaching. But I also recognize and understand that different preachers, different pastors are gifted in different ways. And that's why God's made a body with different parts in order to reach different people. And the way you're going to reach people is going to be very different than a John MacArthur type of pastor. And therefore, because I'm, I guess, more ecumenical in that sense, I think God has reasons for calling out men like John MacArthur to do what MacArthur does and Rick Warren to do what Rick Warren does.
Yeah.
But they're different types of pastors. What I think is short-sighted sometimes is that people don't look deep enough into the way the church is structured. And I know you've talked about this, to know that there is deeper discipleship than maybe what is on the outer surface of a just a Sunday morning type of message or something of that nature.
Right.
And
like I just said earlier, I don't think I would ask Andy Stanley his advice when it comes to ecclesiology and how the church structure should be set up.
Yeah. Well, I looked it up on Google. He has 6 campuses right now with over 32,000 attendees each week. And North Point Ministry has also helped plant more than 20 strategic partner churches in the U.S. and Canada.
Man. So that's scary.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? You guys may get a kick out of this, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. By me saying that's scary, do you know what Leighton would say to me? Well, God's
decreed it.
Yeah, God's predestined it, so what are you even worried about?
Yeah.
That's what we
get. Yeah, you're right.
And at the same time, you know, what neither one of these two guys understand is absolutely, yes, God decreed that. He uses those means that he will be glorified. But as humans, look, we go by what the Word says. So when we see false teaching taking place, we are called to go after that so that God will be glorified. That's the bottom line. He's got a greater purpose than that shallow little answer of, well, God predetermined it.
Well, he's trying to paint the picture of that as, like, what do people that follow the doctrines of grace just stand around every morning waiting to find out what they're supposed to do for the day? Like, God sends us some revelation of, like, okay, today the Calvinist will do this. You know, we get up, we do our daily routine. We're humans, we're sinners, we're fallen men, just like everybody. So, but he tries to paint the picture of, like, you know, predestination is seeing a fortune teller thing, you know, like we can see into the future and know what our lives are going to be. And it's so moronic.
Yeah, well, it's like James White says about Leighton Flowers, that he flattens everything out. He doesn't think in categories. He does acknowledge that, you know, God's sovereignty also plus providence, where he does things in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Leighton Flowers just doesn't think that way.
Yeah. Well, guys, I don't know about y'all, but we're at the pretty much hour and 6 minute mark, and I don't think we can end with a better quote than what Paul just laid out there.
Right on.
So I know that we got Christmas coming up, but, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I would love to get back in here next Thursday. And what I'm probably going to do, and I'm going to ask you guys to do the same thing, if we just want to timestamp where we want to go, or, I mean, we keep going like this. We got 20 minutes into it. And, you know, really towards the end, it's just them doing the same thing they did at the beginning. But if y'all want to look at certain timestamps, then we could definitely go there, because I want to keep this conversation going, because what I pray this does is this is eye-opening to the world, that Leighton Flowers will be willing to partner with people as long as the price is right, regardless of what their history has shown us when it comes to their understanding of their doctrine and theology. And, you know, I want him to repent of this. I want Andy Stanley to repent of what he has taught in the past that has been so confusing and just completely against Scripture. I mean, it's not that I hate these men. I don't hate either one of them. I just don't like what they're doing. And
I hate what they do.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. I hate what they do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, the reason we do what we do is, to, you know, polemics within our own faith, keep each other in check. But we also give a biblical point of view against someone else that is teaching false doctrine.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, I was just fixing to push and play when he starts talking about, you know, Russell Moore and his idea of what deep is.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, I was like, well, I could just rant about that all day because, you know, Leighton Flowers actually was talking about going deeper in Scripture and within faith. And then if you notice what Andy does is he turns it around and looks at it through a worldview, a humanistic,
that's right,
you know, human reasoning with his whole deal about, you know, go adopt some kids and you'll be in over your head. I mean, there's atheists that adopt kids. You know what I'm saying? That's not what brings a person closer to God.
That's right.
And closer to, you know, a deeper understanding. And so, I mean, that was just one of those things where I could go on forever when we talk about that particular subject.
Well, that makes me excited because that way I know the next time we get on here, we're going to play that part and we're just going to let you go, brother. We're just going to let you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go.
Well, Jeff, you want to
go? Next third, just get...
Say that again, brother.
You for next Thursday about the same time or?
Yeah, man, if that works for you, does that work?
Yeah, okay. That's good for me.
Sweet. Well, Jeff, you got anything you want to say? Closing remarks? How you always, you know, all the Instagram, Twitter stuff and Facebook?
Sure, I can do that.
All right, man.
Do I get any background music?
Yeah, hang on. Here we go.
I can't fly without my music, man.
Man. We're going to go old school.
Oh, that's so cute.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll wrap this up for us. Guys, gals, if you like what you hear and want to listen to us ramble more and have Trucker Paul on and let him educate us too, reach out to us. We've got Twitter, Facebook, and we also have a Gmail that Paul and Lily Bot are about the only two that use, but that's cool.
We're thankful for that.
Yeah. But you can email us at sonicreformation@gmail.com. And if you would like to donate money like Andy Stanley does to Leighton Flowers, we also have a Patreon account. And if you just go to patreon.com, search Sonic Reformation, you can give anything you want, and we appreciate any donation. And as always, we are more thankful for you guys listening than giving money. So first and foremost, thank you for listening. Yeah, man, I think that's it.
All right.
Did I miss anything?
No, that's great. I know you're making fun of my NXS pick here, but this thing's had over 8 million views.
NXS?
Yeah.
They rock, man.
I know, right? All right, man. I hope you guys have a good one. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you before the new year. All right. Have a good one.